todolisthome.com. Welcome. I'm your humble host, Tony Teolis, and I'm keeping track of things to do around the home. This is episode 4 of the To Do List Home podcast, Buying a Home in Fairfax County, Part 1, coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. For more information on this podcast and others to follow, can be found at todolisthome.com. That introductory music is Blue Devil Plane, brought to you by danosongs.com. Visit danosongs.com and help keep free music flowing on the web. From this show forward, I'm just going to be adding a link to danosongs.com for recognition of that fun piece of music. The song of the day is Blood Pride by Pontiac, recorded on Maker from 2009. Have a listen at iTunes. Download iTunes today. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance. Retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. Today's gardening chore: cutting back the dead asparagus fern and filling in with some great Mel's mix, including my own compost. I have some pictures of what the fern looked like in the fall and in the winter, and I've also included a photo of my compost showing a number of worms in the foreground. Just imagine how many more of these garden tillers were in my compost bin after freezing all winter. Something is going right in there. It's 1 year since I established these plants, and I can get probably a small harvest in the upcoming weeks that will last for maybe 7 days. Next year, my harvest will exceed 4 weeks. Next year, my harvest will extend to 4 weeks, and the year after that, 8 weeks. That's right, 8 weeks, for up to a possible 19 years from this one bed. In episodes 1, 2, and 3, I've made references to Mel's Mix, and I get Mel's Mix from Mel's Square Foot Gardening Book, which is where I turn for all of my gardening how-tos and more. And you'll also notice the two attachments in today's episode. Planting Times is an Excel chart of the what and when for sowing and planting my fruits and vegetables. The timeline is based on average first and last frost dates for Northern Virginia. The crops that are grayed out are not being sown this year, or they're already in the ground as perennials, as in the case of the asparagus. Home Outlines and Plans 2011 is a PowerPoint of the layout of my gardens and beehive. When you view this presentation, you'll understand the importance of keeping track of the gardening chores. I have 16 gardens spread around my 1/3 acre property. These 16 gardens, plus some other growing areas, encompass about 240 total square feet of growing space. On my to-do list today, buying a home in Fairfax County, Part 1. That's not really on my to-do list today, as I already have a home in Fairfax, but I thought that since my home to-do list would not exist without a home, it was time to explain how we got here. The journey was a maze that almost led to financial devastation, but it didn't, in large part because I had two friends on the phone, long distance, in August of 2005, helping me decide whether or not to continue with a real estate offer after the owners refused to negotiate on a lead paint inspection. Thanks to them, we didn't go through with that deal, and we had already been in the home market for 2.5 years, and it wouldn't be for another 4 years until we finally did close a real estate deal. But first, a financial disclaimer. Neither this site or its owner are in any way providing anything other than a personal story of a home buying experience. No responsibility is to be attached to the owner or site for what you actually do with the information provided. Our home buying story started when I made the move from living in Japan for more than 8 years to living in Fairfax County, Virginia, USA. I thought upon my return in the fall of 2003 that I would do the right things and find that American dream home for my family. I left a brand spanking new home in Japan just outside of Tokyo in order to try to make a serious career adjustment. I got acclimated here to my work soon enough, but there was an eerie feeling in the air, and to me it became known as the "Dude, are you freaking kidding me?" period. This was a phrase I found myself saying whenever something related to a fever-pitched attitude about housing and real estate came to my attention. During my first weeks in Fairfax County, I thought I would eventually be able to find that dream home for not a dollar more than $350,000. And that dream home was big and sat on an acre of land. But then when I first glanced at some ads, it hit me and I thought, "Dude, are you freaking kidding me?" The true proof I was in nutso land, that's nutso land, was when the clerk at Blockbuster got all excited when she talked about getting her real estate license. The real estate market here had the dot-com bubblicious look all over it. Despite the housing mania that was beginning to brew, I purchased Home Buying for Dummies to educate myself on the steps necessary to purchase a home. This excellent book provided me with a basic understanding of home economics, financing, property, players and prices, and how to negotiate once the game begins. Written by Eric Tyson and Ray Brown, Home Buying for Dummies set me on a course that began with understanding our budget, gave us some investing and savings advice, and helped to begin to find an agent that would work for us. We began to actively search for a home in the spring of 2004 when we contacted a friend of a friend who dabbled on the side as an agent. This person conducted real estate deals that paid a full 1% back from the commission to the buyers. At the time, my children were 3 and 1 year old and too young to be off in school, so they accompanied us on this first search. We went to a nearby two-story row house that was listed for $285,000, and from the looks of it from the outside, we had already decided we did not want the place, but we wanted to give a good first impression with the agent and were determined to have a look inside. After waiting outside for 45 minutes with two small children, our agent finally showed up and gave us a tour of the place. The inside was far worse than we imagined, and the smell of cat pee was overwhelming. My wife, being allergic to cats, could not tour the whole home, even though there was not much to it. I ended up following my wife out thinking, "Dude, are you freaking kidding me? $285,000? For this freaking dump." We followed the agent to a few more places that season, and they all turned out to be $285,000 two-story row houses. We didn't see one that was what we had in mind as a home. Thus ended our first home search in the area, as our finances and aspirations needed to be reevaluated and planned better. At the time, I was reading Crashing the Party by Ralph Nader. In the spring of 2005, my wife and I had gained a lot more knowledge about buying a home and decided to look again. President Bush was making a tour and bragging about America being an ownership society, and we fell for it. We had more savings and more knowledge about the kind of home we wanted to purchase, and to begin the search this time, my same friend who referred us to the first agent referred us to his mortgage broker as a first step in learning how to finance a home purchase and understand what we could afford. My first conversation over the phone with Chip was more of a one-way, "Hey, listen to me, kid, because I know what I'm talking about," kind of conversation. Chip explained to me that what we wanted, a dream home for not a dollar more than $355,000, was ridiculous, especially for the area in which we were living. He told me the new American dream was to buy an overpriced row house and then hold out for 5 to 7 years when the price would double and we could then get that dream home we envisioned. Chip went on to inform me that my Veterans Home Loan Guarantee Certificate was of no use for this area. Instead, he explained all the benefits of a low down payment, interest only, and 3, 5, and 7 year adjustable rate mortgages. He was less than enthusiastic when I mentioned I wanted a 30-year loan with no private mortgage insurance. He promised to do a credit check and see what I could actually qualify for, and I ended the call thinking what my father would say if I explained this conversation to him. In short, he would say something like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" Within a couple of months, we were still in communication with Chip, and we were qualifying for a loan, and we asked Chip to get us in contact with an agent from one of the established firms. Kimberly came to meet us at our apartment and came off as overly anxious to put us in a home. When we first met her, we told her we wanted a dream home for not a dollar more than $350,000. Her eyes gave away her thoughts, "We must be from Mars." But with a possible commission in mind, she pretended to understand us and started to line up homes for us to visit. Once again, we were limited to viewing two-story row houses throughout Fairfax County in the midsummer of 2005. Many were in neighborhoods where I would not even want to walk alone at night. We saw about 24 homes, and after much wrangling and bad financial planning, i.e., trying to convince ourselves that appreciation would buy us into our dream home in the future, we had signed a contract for a tiny row house whose main benefit was being less than a mile from my train station. Even though that voice in my head said, "Dude, are you freaking kidding me? $375,000 for this freaking dump?" Well, at 10 a.m. on a Friday in early August, we signed over a deposit check for a small row house with a purchase price of $375,000. We had agreed with Chip to do two loans, one for 80%, and the other for 10%, in order to avoid any private mortgage insurance. 10 hours later, Kimberly called to tell us that the owners did not agree to making any repairs to a lead paint inspection if the results determined repair was in order. She said it was no big deal, and we had to get to her office, which was 10 miles away, at 9 p.m. on a Friday night with two small children, and sign new contract papers. I asked her to wait a few minutes because I needed to contact my lifelong friend and financial advisor. Whenever I spend more than $1,000, I call Dave Spoa. Dave knew all about our home search, and even though he was 300 miles away, he was at the ready to help on a Friday evening. He told me to wait while he called another lifelong friend and home inspector, Mark Columbus. Within 10 minutes, Spoa was back to us with a warning not to buy. It was about our ability to resell later if there was a problem. My wife and I were not quite prepared to give up, but we heeded Spoa's advice, and I called Kimberly back to say we wanted to withdraw our offer. That was when Kimberly showed her true colors. She angrily stated that I was thinking too much and I would never accomplish anything by doing that. That conversation did not last much longer, and I told her we would be in touch later. My wife and I slept very well that evening. A couple of weeks later, Kimberly called to ask when we wanted to see more homes. I informed her that for the time being, my wife and I had decided to give up the search for 2005. It was only then that she said, "Well, you know, Tony, it's probably a good thing, because I would hate for you to wake up 6 months from now and realize you don't like where you are living." Imagine that! Say something like that after trying to get us into a house where we would wake up realizing we didn't like living there. A couple of weeks later, I did some analysis that I should have done at the start of the home search. I gathered statistics from a number of sources on demographics and home sales for Fairfax County from 1995 through 2005, and the results were shocking. The data consisted of population, housing units, households, families, household income, family income, rent, and median home prices. Of the 8 pieces of data, only median home price was way out of whack between the years 2000 and 2005. Talk about shock and awe. All I could do at the time was thank God, Spoa, and my wife that we did not buy a home. Something was clearly not right. A link to this research can be found in the show notes. At the time I was reading The End of Oil by Paul Roberts. 2005 rolled into 2006, and at the time I began to question why someone I did not know would lend me up to 90% of a mortgage for a home that my father and family would have shook their heads in disbelief. So I turned to the internet for research on where mortgage money came from, and the results were more mind-boggling than a demographics research I conducted. In short, mortgage money, like any loan under the Federal Reserve System, comes from thin air. Yes, you heard me, thin air. Even though money that I would borrow for a home purchase, or any other purchase for that matter, was created from thin air, it also had to be paid back with interest. I know this sounds like I'm from Mars, but I refer you to the Federal Reserve itself. See the link in the show notes for a great comic book to read with your family. When you do that, you'll understand why the national debt is over $14 trillion and climbing. Moreover, you might gain some insight into why this debt can never be paid back. This led to further research, and as I moved beyond mainstream media information sources, I came across several voices in the dark that led me to seriously question finance in the modern world. Housing Panic blog site led me to Life After the Oil Crash website and The Daily Reckoning, headed up by Bill Bonner and Addison Wiggin. I got Bonner and Wiggin's Empire of Debt from the library and was eventually led to The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. I became a fan of Bonner's regular articles and also turned to Mike Whitney as another disregarded voice of conscience. I read Peter Schiff's Crash Proof and was further emboldened not to be taken to the cleaners for a home. As a result, 2006 closed out with me questioning everything I knew about buying a home, American history, war, money, and how to live my life in a troubled world. Beyond the absurdness of money creation was the model for fraud that developed over the years and led to a Ponzi scheme buildup that resulted in the housing market crash that began in 2007. A link to this beautiful model for fraud can be found in the show notes. Although there were hints that the voices in the dark were beginning to see the light of day in November of 2007, my wife and I decided again to look for a home as our rent kept increasing. The rental office had an agreement with a local agent, and this person listened again to our wish for a dream home that was not a dollar more than $355,000. She listened, but she didn't hear us. However, she agreed to help us find a home and took us to probably four row houses at this time. The homes were nicer, but they were still row houses, or if you will, townhomes. The fourth visit turned us off. We went to the home and the owners happened to be there during our visit. When I asked why they were moving, they said they needed to move to New York for the husband's job. When I asked when they planned to move, the wife replied, "When you buy this house." Once again, the voice in my head went, "Dude, are you freaking kidding me? $400,000 for this freaking dump?" That was it for 2007, and we ended up signing another lease for the apartment. Hey, it had a pool and we weren't quite ready to give that up for just any old home. At the time, I was reading Parallel Worlds by Michio Kaku. This concludes part one of buying a home in Fairfax County. That's it for today. Now go out and do something useful.